This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Oh shit. Oh shit. It's fucking Wednesday, October 9th. Wash your asshole. They mean business out there today. They ain't fucking around. Oh shit. Da, 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 da. Are you fucking kidding me or what? We're back, bitches. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with here? It's Wednesday. Wake up. Eat that oatmeal. Some jumping jacks. Take a nice shit. Wipe that motherfucker with the thing from
One Wipe Charlie's.
One Wipe Charlie. Put some peppermint in your life. Through your asshole. Who gives a fuck? Your asshole will smell good. Your breath will smell good. You'll be a complete individual. You know what I'm saying? Groove it. Hit it. Get up, cocksuckers. Life is waiting for you. Oh, shit. What's up, baby?
I love this song. This song always gets
fucking
me going.
Oh, it gets everybody going. That's a pure heroin. You know, that's a fucking tremendous little jam. What's going on, baby?
I feel great, dude.
You look good. What time did you get home from work?
Like 12:30. I got home early last night. And I don't know. I mean, the job sucks, but I got home at 12:30, went to bed, got a few hours of sleep. I'll get a few more after we're done.
Look at you. You're looking sharp and shit.
Trying.
You put some gel on the fucking head, dude.
There's no hair, though. That's why I get a cut like this, so I don't have to
listen,
do shit to
you got
to
three
it.
Hairs. You got to maintain them. That's it. That's all I say. You got to, what are you going to do? You can't put a rug on. You're fucking Lisa.
No.
Yeah, you're the flying Jew. It's either a yarmulke or you go straight fucking commando with that head, dude. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Lisa, yeah. It's great to be here. The movie is done shooting, guys, which means the schedule is back. We're back. You know, it was a great experience. Movies always are. Films, shooting films always are. The film I did was The Dog That Saved Easter. It's with Dean Cain. I do one a year for
ABC Family.
ABC Family. I think they're going to expand them this year. Who gives a fuck? You know what? I got a little bit of work. It went towards my insurance. Because at the end of the week, that's all I give a fuck about is that I have insurance.
And every week you always call me and you're like, well, it's dead. And until this week, you had stuff to do.
Oh, for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks, I had stuff and it was pretty hectic because I had to shoot and then get on a fucking plane. You know, I went to Oregon last week. I didn't have to fucking get on a plane, but it was the same difference. I worked 3 12s last week, which killed me. You know, fuck, I'm an old man. You know, I don't know.
How do you learn your lines? Do you learn them before you get to set, or is it...
No, I read the script.
Okay.
I make a couple notes in the script, like I look at this, I look at that, and then they give you dailies every day. So at night, they shoot me what they're going to cover the next day, and I circle my things, and I line it up, and I learn the lines to a degree. Like, I'm a sidekick,
mm-hmm.
So my lines are like off of his, so it's usually 3 or 4 lines per scene, maybe 2, maybe 1, and it's all comedy. So it doesn't matter how I get to it, is that I get to it. So okay. I know the lines a little bit. They're not in stone in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get there, we rehearse.
Oh, you do rehearse.
We
okay.
rehearse while we block the scene out, you know. So you rehearse a little bit, and then it really gets. And then once I get there, the first take is usually fucked up. But the second take, I go in there like a fucking savage. And what's really helped me is, you know, I don't fucking toot my horn about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really helped me is, I'm very experienced now around the set. Like, I'm good. Like, when I shoot, there's no wasted time. Like, I know my lines. I know exactly what to do. And I was explaining that when I came here to L.A., you know, every movie paid 6-something a day, or TV, whatever scale is, SAG scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 3 years into being in L.A., 4 years in, I booked something, and it went to 466. A lot of movies were going down to 466.
Mm-hmm.
Then SAG did another bargaining agreement, and they went down to 250-something. This isn't for every movie. This is just certain budgeted films.
Yeah.
The budget of the film determines what you get paid per day. Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, they started with this ultra-low budget shit. $200,000, and they have to pay you $100 a day. What that means is that it's a skeleton crew. You know, when you work on Spider-Man 2 or analyze that, you have a person shadowing you pretty much all the day. You know, there's 3 makeup girls, there's 4 wardrobe people, there's fucking 12 PAs, there's 3 ADs, you know, there's 1,000 people per job. So it flows a little better. The more smaller the budget, that chain of command, you know, gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And then what you do is it gets more and more inexperienced. Because experienced people say, fuck you, I'm not working for 100 a day.
Yeah.
So they're a little tougher to do. You know, I was very fortunate. I worked on big films first, and then it went backwards for me. So I know exactly what movements I have to do. But if I would have had to start doing 100 day movies, this would have been very hard for me.
Because you basically went to acting school on bigger movies.
On bigger movies.
Yeah.
You follow me? I was very fortunate that I cut my teeth on, you know, big multi-fucking budget, whether it was Taxi with Queen Latifah. Like, this movie here had a... I had to bring donuts yesterday for breakfast.
You did?
2 days. Yeah, I stopped at Yum Yum Donuts and got 3 dozen donuts for the fucking whatever. Because there's no food. It's peanuts. It's fucking everything that don't go with everything. It's like there's peanut butter, but then there's like fucking condensed milk. You can't make peanut butter and condensed milk sandwich. You know, they have one breakfast at 7 a.m. No, at 6. So the movie starts shooting at 7. So now you want me to get there at 6 just to get a free fucking breakfast pass. They do everything in those movies to make it harder, mm-hmm. You know. And I've done work for these guys before or whatever, and it's okay, you know. It's like I'm eating all fucking day or whatever. I could care less. I mean, it's nice to have. Like, when I did Spider-Man fucking 2, they had every type of juice. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
They had 2 tables of just juices. From kiwi mix to Brazilian fucking grape to acai. And then I'll tell you where I wouldn't have lasted either, when I did General Hospital. General Hospital, when I did General Hospital, was when I really learned that you're fucking... When you get to General Hospital, you check it. Like, when you get to a movie set,
yeah.
Okay? You walk on with your bag, whatever, and people see that you're the new guy, and they come up to you. You looking for somebody? No, I'm Joey D. Okay, come on over here. You're playing Sal. Yeah, and they walk into your trailer, and they go, your clothes is in there. Do you want breakfast? And you go, yeah. And they go, all right. They point you over to the fucking table, or if you want them to bring it to your room, whatever. They're pretty, you know, that's on a TV show, on a movie, on a studio lot, you know?
Yeah.
And then from there you go to your room and you change and you go to makeup. And then from there you go back to your trailer and you sit till they need you. You walk to the set and see what's going on. Say hello to everybody. Rehearse your lines. Whatever the fuck it is that you want to do. Okay? But somebody's always with you. You have a question. When I did General Hospital, you basically walk in. Some hot black chick gives you a fucking piece of paper with your room info and shit. You go to your room and nobody even talks to you. You don't talk to nobody. You have a room like this with a couch, a bed, a refrigerator, maybe have water in there. Maybe they have a couple diet sodas. There's a TV screen, and then there's another monitor. And that monitor will tell you everything. So as soon as you sit down, there's a piece of paper. Your package is there. You got to fill it out. Then there's a piece of paperwork that what your lines are for the day, which for them, I knew them when I walked in because they're not gonna improvise in a fucking soap opera.
No.
So when I walk in, right away, I'll tell you. Rehearsing scene 63. You fucking go right up there, boom, you're ready. They block it, boom, boom, boom. You rehearse back. Now you go to your room and change. And now you wait for the monitor to tell you. There's no interaction with nobody. You don't even talk to nobody on General Hospital.
You must have loved that.
I did. I really did. You're by yourself. You know, you bring a book, you bring a fucking CD, you know, you bring an iPod. You know, I brought an iPod to this thing every day. I listen to a little music. I listen to the Marc Maron podcast. I listen. I really want to thank Marc Maron and WTF for putting me on the show. Marc Maron, let me tell you something about Marc Maron that I ain't. Okay? You know I don't like questions. You know what I'm saying? After a while, fucking questions drive me crazy, especially when you open up with a question. Marc Maron's a very good fucking interview, and I'm very proud that he put me on the show. A lot of people don't put me on nothing. He put me on the show, and he gave me a fucking light, and I want to really thank him. That's the mark of a true comic, you know? There's comedians, and then there's comics, and then there's true fucking comics. True comics don't have, they're not insecure about helping somebody. That's a gift. That's a fucking gift. I heard so many stories where George Lopez wouldn't take a Mexican out on the road with him, you know, because he didn't want, you know, he'd take a black kid out or a white kid. I got nothing against nobody, but these are little quirks that comics have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comics or true comics, they help everybody. That's part of being a Boy Scout. You know, this movie, you know what I'm saying? One of the producers on the movie let me and Dean Cain know during rehearsal the other day that he was a Christian. You know, I'm a man of God. I'm a yeah. Christian. I don't curse. And meanwhile, there's no food on the fucking... You follow me?
Yeah.
So yesterday when I showed up with the donuts, he came right out. And he's eating fucking donuts. He's like, oh my God. And I looked at him. I go, that's brought to you by a man not of God. And I walked away and he was pale because I hate that shit. Why you gotta tell me you're a fucking Christian for? That's why I get pissed off at Christians. Nothing personal. But they always gotta let you know that they're the answer to God and all that stuff. Where's the donuts, bitch? What'd God tell you about the fucking donuts? Didn't God tell you to feed the fucking staff? That they're fucking hungry? So there you have it. You understand? You don't have to be a man of God. You have to be a fucking Boy Scout. We're all fucking Boy Scouts. We have honor. And you help the people around you. I'm not talking about giving them $20 or giving them $2,000. I'm talking about maybe making somebody's day. Do you know what I'm saying? That's all you want to do. Once a day. Because, you know, I have a daughter. I want somebody to make her day. I have a wife. I want somebody to make her day. I have Lisa Ayat, the Flying Jew. I got Red Band. I got my nephews. So I want everybody's day to be made. The only way to make for them to make your day is by making somebody else's fucking day. And then it works like a circle. It's like a fucking circle jerk. You're going to see that you're going to get a flat pullover, and some guy's going to pull over and not want to fuck you in the ears. And they want to stab you and drop you off at Breaking Ben's house. What's up, Lisa Ayat? Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Some fucking novice here? We're back. It's over. And now we're headed to San Francisco this fucking weekend. And I told you two fucking times, they ain't fucking around up there. You're going to eat edibles Saturday night. You might not even make the plane Sunday morning. Did you not hear what happened to me at Cobb's last time I went?
Where you threw up in the bathroom?
Threw up in the fucking bathroom. A little piece of shit came out of my ass.
For people doubting my Judaism, you should see. I went all over trying to find deals for this weekend, and I almost rented a car because like it'd be cheaper than getting a cab from the hotel to the airport or whatever. But then I was like, "Fuck!" The way Joey gave me those edibles, I can't be driving a car in a city I don't know. I was like, "I'll pay for a fucking cab." And I just imagined your voice in my head when I told you I got a rental car. You'd be like, are you fucking serious? Are you retarded?
Yeah, you're not gonna. It's too complex of a city.
Yeah.
Listen, man, when I go into a new city, that's nice. You want to be Joe fucking Adventure. That's nice. That's great. But I got time for fucking adventures, all right? Just take me to where the fuck I need to be. I'm going to be fucking around with a GPS. You know, take me here. Make it all right. At 1.3, take Route 88 East. I don't know where the fuck Route 88 East is, nor do I give a fuck. Ooh, that was a nice burp. That was on a chocolate fucking shake.
Ooh.
I'm back on them for breakfast again. So I'm on the fuck battle just like you, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm done with eggs. I'm done with the toast. I'm back on the protein powder with the banana in it. And then when I get home, I eat a little bit of Special K or something. That's my breakfast. I got to drop the fucking weight, too. And you know, with weight, you can jump up and down for 22 fucking hours a day. If your diet ain't right, you ain't going to lose no fucking weight.
So yeah.
That's I gotta balance out like yin with fucking yang. You know what I'm talking about?
I absolutely do.
So, no, get ready for San Francisco. I'm fucking excited. I'm excited for tomorrow night. I'm excited for Friday. I'm excited for Saturday. You know, and that's what's going on with me also, Lee. I'm spoiled. You know, this podcast is fucking tremendous. I really miss doing the podcast on Monday morning.
Yeah.
It fucked with my whole day. I was depressed Monday, and it was fucked up. I got a call last week one day, like Wednesday, from this lady, Cecilia, who is my uncle, my cousins, you know, that my cousins in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
She's Colombian, but she's into music. She shot a documentary. Her and her husband are like filmmakers. And she is trying to shoot a documentary for my uncle's band and their nephews in Cuba. You know, Emmy and Alfonso and Eki and all that shit. So she goes back and forth to Cuba. So like last week she fucking calls me, you know. And she goes, Jose, you know, blah, 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 I just came back from Cuba and they gave me pictures for you of your mother.
Oh,
with
shit.
Your little sister. I said, no shit. And she goes, well, yeah, what do you want me to do? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm working on this thing. She lives in Malibu. I can't get there. I only have Friday and Saturday off. She was going to New York on Friday. So all I had was Thursday after that shot, 12 hours. I didn't want to get on the fucking 101 North.
No.
And head to Malibu. So I told her, you know, could she mail it? So she called me Friday. She goes, I put it in the mail. Your mom is so cute. So Monday, my wife calls and she goes, you got your card in the mail. You know, and I got home and opened it. It wasn't a picture of my mother. It was some other fucking lady.
Oh.
So that fucked my world up because I have no pictures of my family. You know, I lost them all, really. I have none, you know. So my wife wanted a picture to show my daughter, you know, when she got older or whatever. So now we're back to the fucking drawing board. So I was a little bummed about that. But then like 9 o'clock at night, I almost called you. I swear to God, Monday really? Night, I was like, you know what, Lee, we should just do a fucking podcast at night. And I forgot that you were at work. You know, I miss this. I really enjoy this outlet for me.
Mm-hmm.
As a, listen, I never call myself a fucking artist. It's a faggy word. I'm a fucking criminal comic. This is what the fuck I am. I'm a comedian that got away with murder. You know, that's the only way I can put it, because there's no other way. There's no other way. It just fucking changes me. When I'm on the set, I'm thinking, what the fuck am I doing? I could be doing a podcast, you know? Like, that's what was going on with me. Like, they're not doing it the third time, and then we couldn't figure out whether to do it Sunday morning or Monday. You know, I don't like having my time construed like that, but I need to work from time to time. It balances everything the fuck out. So, for the podcast people, it was no disrespect against you. I love you guys with all my fucking heart. I love doing this. I love the whole completion of the circle of going to the shows and getting to meet people and then tweeting with them. You have no fucking idea. It's fucking very cool. So I'm sorry about last week. You know, Lee Syatt would have ran it on his own and shit. We would have got a co-host.
Nah.
What's up,
cocksucker? But you're in trouble. Someone's bringing, I forget his name right now, but someone's already bringing hummus.
I don't give a fuck.
Saturday night.
Listen, I got a dressing room with a door in it. The hummus will go for you. You can take all the hummus you want, eat in your hotel room, rub it on your toes. They had that shit on the fucking table at the fucking thing with hummus chips.
Oh, so what do you combine?
Disgusting red pepper hummus. I don't like that shit at all. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to rub it on my skin. I don't
No one wants to rub it on their skin.
You do, cocksucker. You love that shit.
I love
it. You rub it all over yourself like cucumber juice on a fucking...
I would.
But that's the main deal. Once you get into this podcasting thing and you get to this... interacting with different people through social media.
Mm-hmm.
It really changes. It fucked me up. It's made me a different fucking person.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and I never really talk about this, so it's weird, but it really, I got kind of, it freaked me out last night. I never talk about Twitter. I don't tell you guys to follow me because I really honestly don't, it's not that I don't care, but it's not, I don't have anything. I don't have jokes or anything. But I looked down last night and I'm at 5,000. I couldn't, like, I can't even, I didn't even want to be on this thing. And now, like, there's 5,000 people who care what I say about on Twitter. It's just, it was really weird.
Well, we're part of something. We're really part of something. You know, we have Dead Squad, who I thank. Dead Squad Illinois, to Dead Squad Harlem, to Dead Squad NorCal. I love you motherfuckers. I love when you come to the shows. I love when you email me. I love seeing your tweets, you know. And it's just, this is the most powerful thing I've ever been involved in. Like, guys, and I know you don't listen to the podcast, you think I'm crazy after this, that's fine. Don't listen to me. Go listen to, I'm telling you that when I'm online in the morning with you crazy motherfuckers and I'm smoking dope in my bedroom or my fucking office and you guys, wherever the fuck you're at and you're kind of high, we're connecting on an energy level, man. I feel that fucking energy some morning. Sometimes I break myself out of it. I'm like, what's this fucking trance that this fucking guy on Twitter got me on? Because they play music too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's shit I haven't fucking heard in a long time. You know, this morning my girl fucking Cleo put on Ram Jam, Black Betty. I love all that shit. You know, and so they surprised me. So what I'm giving you guys, you're giving it back to me. So fucking thank you. It's pretty fucking interesting. I don't get that on a set.
Yeah.
Bro, they had me on a fucking trailer. That I've been in bigger cells. Seriously, one man cells. I've been in, when I was, and I was thinking about the cells. The only cell that was almost as small as that was fucking when I was in Jefferson County Jail up there in the fucking mountain. Not Jefferson, not Jeffco. I was in somewhere in a ski resort because Boulder transferred me.
Mm-hmm.
When I got locked up, the weird thing was that there was state overpopulation in the prisons. So they were moving people around. So I wanted to stay in Boulder County so I'd get visits and I'd wear clothes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But within 3 fucking days, they sent me to some county where they have a lot of snow and they ski and shit. Did I tell you about this?
I think so.
And there was a cool motherfucking kid in there from New York City. And he had told me a story that what he had done. I read the fucking paperwork. He got caught with coke, and he cut a deal with the cops. He was going to give him the biggest coke dealer in the fucking mountains.
Right? Oh, shit.
So he remembered that there was a house that was for rent.
Mm-hmm.
That he could, that the key was always in the thing. So he went that afternoon. He had to meet the cops at 8 o'clock, and they were going to give him $2,500 or something like that, or $50,000. I don't know what the number was, like $8,000 cash. So what he was, what he did was went in the afternoon, put the lights on in the house, left the front door open. Okay, listen to this fucking story. Went in the back, left the front door open, busted the back fucking lock, and put his mother back there with a fucking car at 8:15 at night. Listen to this fucking motherfucker. He pulls up with the cops. They pull up. He walks. He get, they follow him. He has like a car.
Yeah.
That's wired or some shit, he was telling me. They pull up. They pull up behind. They're watching. There's like five fucking cop cars. He goes in, knocks on the door, makes believe the door opens, goes in, closes in behind them, walks in with the wire. He's talking, and they think they can't get him. He fucking rips the wire off, opens up the back door, takes the fucking feds' money, gets in his mother's car, and goes back to fucking New York City. And they went back and got him a year later.
Jesus.
They extradited him back to Colorado for theft and all this shit, but that's a smart fucking move. He got, he's like, fuck, I didn't have nobody to rat on. They caught me fucking selling blow. Who am I going to rat on? I'm not going to rat on nobody. He goes, so I fucking scammed him. That's how dumb they fucking were. So he took him to the place, went in, went out the fucking back door. But he was like the handball king in this prison. This is a fucking cool-ass place. And they let you out all day, and they had, the sun was, I had a fucking, I remember when I first got my first visit from my ex-wife, she came and she's like, fuck, your sun tanned. Fuck, how come you're so dark? Because they had basketball courts and shit that were open.
Yeah.
Like everything was wide open. So all you had to do was say, and they tell you at 8 in the morning, if you don't want to be in yourself, go out there and play basketball. I was out there all fucking day, drawing pictures, whatever the fuck I was doing. And I remember I was there through Halloween. And every night the guard would come at like fucking 8 o'clock after the showers, and he'd say, what do you guys want? And we'd give him cash, and they'd let us keep cash in ourselves. And he'd go to Safeway for us and buy his chips and fucking onion dip and ice cream and shit, and we'd sit around and fucking...
Sounds like summer camp.
I'm telling you. Give me some music, Lee. What the fuck? You're sitting there like a fucking bumpy October 9th. Get your shit together, cocksuckers. It's going down. And for this fucking savage. I heard this the other day. This is one of my first albums. Did you know that, Lee?
This George
L.A.
album?
Woman? Oh, yeah. This is a great album. This is like Led Zeppelin. I had like three or four albums when I bought this. But my mother used to listen to this when I came from Cuba. And she'd make me dance to Mr. Mojo Rising at the end when he's on Mr. Mo. My mom would go, come on down here, let me come on. And I'd have to dance, and she'd go, wiggle your hips like Jim Morrison. Fucking tremendous. Giggly. Oh, shit. Get out there. Stab some motherfucker in the lung today. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Wash that pussy. Breathe, bitches. Whoa. Oh, shit. Took a look around, say which way the wind blow. Spark that fucking number. Where is it, Lee? Oh, shit. How you gonna get out of the house with no fucking THC jujus in you? Get out there, you fuck. That's all I'm trying to do is get you ready for those cocksuckers out there. It's you and me against fucking them. Wiggle for Uncle Joey Lee, you dirty bastard. I love it. Come in and get some of that fucking THC jujus. There's a part in this fucking jam, Lee, when he goes, I see your hair is burning. Hills. Oh, my God. Fucking tremendous lyricist in there. Stop it. It's up. 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 What, are you going to smoke that thing? Or are you going to fucking look at it and meditate? I love it. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive, please.
Yes, it is.
I'm having my Goomba calling today. L.A. Woman. Are you fucking kidding me? That's 20 to life, no parole, that fucking jam right there. If I was to shoot heroin this morning, that's what I'd listen to.
Well, please don't shoot heroin.
No, I'm not in the mood today.
You're not in the mood?
It's just going to be a THC type of day, you know what I'm saying? That's it. I'm
going to fucking,
I got to go to a doctor. I got to fucking do 1,000 things today. I got to run around. I got to jump up and down at 12:30. I got a needle today. Oof. Yeah, I didn't go to acupuncture 2 weeks either.
No, you didn't?
No, I had to fucking work. I'm going to go to fucking acupuncture. You know, this last time I went home, fucked with me a little more than usual.
Why this time?
Because I realized I was, how the years passed. You know, you never want to really come to the conclusion in your life that your years have passed. A lot of years have passed. And when I got there, George picked me up. When I got to the hotel and got dropped off, my gas lease came down, you know, and then he hung out for a while. And then George came back, and we went into the city, and I saw a different friend of mine. Then Friday morning, my buddy Bobby Bender picked me up, who I had known since I was fucking, you know, 12. And we went for a ride and ate breakfast, and then I went to dinner with Carmine Balzano and Political Pete, his son, you know, and it dawned on me that I had known these people all these fucking years. But the one that dawned on me the most was George. For a particular situation, I mean, I've known George since we were 15, since freshman fucking summer school. And we didn't become inseparable until, you know, years later. That's funny, I talked to this girl, Denise Mick, the other day. From Facebook. She went to the movies on Sunday.
Okay.
And said she saw the trailer and thought of me.
Oh, cool.
So she contacted me, and then we were talking, and she was friends with Georgie too. We've all been friends with fucking George. George is from Cliffside. I put George in a documentary. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a few people who really know me, and that's one of the guys that really knows me. But there's a pivotal point in my life. There was a fucking, you know, in the spring of 85, I was a fucking savage, like. I mean, I was living in a hotel. I was robbing those gas stations. But I was also doing this low-life type shit. Like, I was going into office buildings and stealing their petty cash and shit like that when the secretary went to pee or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, you said you'd go in with a suit.
Mm-hmm. And it just so happened one day on one of my mind fucks, I'm walking in somewhere in Bergen County, maybe Bergenfield. I was walking around in Bergenfield. But I was living in Fort Lee. That's like living in Studio City and walking around in Culver City. That's how crazy I was. I would take like a bus to Culver City and walk around buildings and shit until I found the fuck, and then take a fucking bus back or get a car. That's how crazy I was, Lee.
Jesus.
And I'm out there plotting. I would just walk. I put my Walkman on and just walk till I saw something that was promising. Sometimes I saw something, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I just went for a long fucking walk just to get out and clear my fucking head. I love doing that shit. 3-4 hour walk just to clear the coconut. And I hadn't seen this kid in years. I hadn't seen George. It had to be 4 or 5 fucking years. I didn't even know how to get a hold of him. So could you imagine walking down the street and looking at a yard and seeing somebody rake the fucking yard? And I look close and it's fucking George. And he comes from behind the yard and he gives me a hug and we talk and he gives me his fucking number. I put his number in my pocket. And that's what it was. I'm living in Teaneck, New Jersey at the time. Or Tenafly. I still probably got a warrant there. It's a misdemeanor, so I don't fucking count. And I'm sitting. I go home. And this place where I was living, the son was crazy. He didn't live there either. I told you, I was living in a boarding house.
Yeah.
The mom had the downstairs, and there was 3 bedrooms upstairs, and a Spanish kid, myself, and some lady lived upstairs, and nobody ever saw the fucking lady. I don't know what happened to her. But one day the cops came, and they said there was jewelry missing. The kid stole it, and he brought it to Harlem, and it was just a fucked up story, but the cops came and arrested me right after I saw George. Like, maybe 4 hours after I saw George. Cops arrested me. And like I said, I had nobody in the world to call. It was going to be Lubes for the 80th time. You know, Roger Holloway was going to be one of my friends that were going to go, Joey, it's fucking 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday night. Are you fucking serious? You're in jail and you need bail money again? And I just called George. And I went in front of the judge, and the bail was $50 or something. So it was no big fucking deal. And then George came and got me, and I go, George, just lend me $40 for a hotel for one night. Tomorrow I go to work. Because at the time, I also had jobs. I also tried getting little construction jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pay you. And he goes, no, you're not going to go to a fucking hotel. You're going to come to my house, you know? And that changed my life. That could have been a turning point. Because I lived with George for 3 months. So let's say it was April, May, and all of June, because I left the 4th of July in 1985. So I lived with George for 90 days. If those 90 days, I would have taken a pinch, 1,000 things could have happened in those 90 days. But George slowed me down. Mm-hmm. He took me off the street. You know, now I had a place to sit for a couple of hours. For years, I didn't know where to sit. I had a hotel room. You know, that I would rent a dirty hotel room and listen to fucking crack hoes suck dick 2 doors down or people yelling and screaming. And now I had a place with a family. They ate dinner at 7. The mother worked and she came home. They smoked pot. You know, George smoked pot. And this is what I was a part of. And I always think about how much of a crucial 90-day window that was.
You know? How old were you?
I was 21 years old, man.
Jesus.
20, 63. I was 22 years old, you know, and I was fucking criminalizing 24/7. And from time to time, I would get jobs in between to hold me over. I thought I wanted to go straight. After 3 days of fucking whatever the fuck, I go, fuck you, I ain't going straight. I'm going to sell coke or rob people.
No, that's crazy. 22.
I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at George, and I'm going, you know, 22. So that's basically 28 years ago, right?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
I was 28 years ago and I still talk to this kid. And he means more to me now than he ever has. But I didn't know this till I went home. You know, it was him, Carlos Quintero, Bobby Bender. I know these people. You know, Steve Avila came to the fucking show. I know these people way before anything. They knew me when my mother was alive, which means they knew me when my mother was alive. They knew me those 5 years afterward when I was hell on two legs. Then they knew me now. They always supported me, my stand-up career. And I kept in touch with them over the years. Over the last 6 or 7 years that I'm more stable, it's been on. You know, I always wondered about Steve Avila, and I sent them little messages. You know, I always kept them in touch with James and Ashley and all my other buddies. And George, too. Me and George lost contact. Yeah, 20-something, 94, we lost contact. 93, this year, this month in 93. I lived with him again. He was out of rehab. I lost contact with George for about maybe 6 years. And it fucked with me a little bit. And then I heard he was dead.
Oh, shit.
And then I came to North Bergen. I saw him driving. And that was the rest is history. You know, the rest is history. But, you know, out of... I look at my wife, I look at stand-up, I look at all these little things and all these little accomplishments and shit. And to me, the biggest accomplishment is still having those friends. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I kept them.
It's an accomplishment? Like, you... Like,
I think it's... You, we were just talking, and I'm not putting you down. You're my brother. We were just talking 6 months ago. I was busting your balls about Ashley.
Yeah.
You know? And you said to me, because you're a sweetheart of a kid, you said to me, you know, I want her to be around, you know. I want to be friends with her, you know. And I asked you last Saturday if you had spoken to her. And you said, no, it's been a while because life takes over.
Yeah.
It's very hard to remain friends with somebody. You know, in high school, we're going to be friends forever. You listen to Bon Jovi and, you know, you go fucking stab somebody together or whatever you do to build that bond. But time changes and things go. So all that talk that you were talking that night when you were drunk was bullshit. You keeping in touch and working on it. 28 fucking years. 28 fucking years I've been talking to this kid. He lived in Colorado with me. You know, when I got arrested, he was right there. You know, 6 months later, he came back. We kept in touch. You know, so to me, you could have money. You could have cars. Anybody could do that. It's these people that changed your life, that touched you somewhere along the line. And to me, it's fucking sacred. It's sacred because they had no reason. I was a fucking thief. If right now somebody came over and I knew he was a fucking thief, would I open my heart and my, you know, I don't know. So I think back to those times and I think of what these people put up with and the stories they must have heard, and not one time did they judge. They continue to be my fucking friends. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very fortunate for that. And if you're 20 or you're 30, I really want you to think about that now. Think about the people that fucking matter. Not some jerk off that you play flag football with. I'm talking about the people that fucking were there for you. And you can't be friends with everybody. Because life is going to happen. Like Ashley, she's got a boyfriend now, you got a girlfriend now, right?
Yeah.
She lives in fucking Northridge, you live down here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's traffic all the time. It's very tough to get together.
Yeah.
You know, I see you more than anybody. Because we're 8 blocks apart. we do the podcast. You know, I see D'Agostino because he works at the HaHa. I go down there and visit him. But besides that, if I lived in Hollywood, I wouldn't see you as much.
No. And the girl said, oh, next time you move, you should move to, like, Santa Monica or something so you can be closer. I said, Joey would murder me. Joey would kill me first.
Nah, you know, I mean, we could get a studio or something, but the thing is, the point of the story is that, you know, just, I know that, you know, it's a very weird age demographic that you guys have. I don't know what ages. I mean, I get emails from 15-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 30-year-olds and people my fucking age and people older. And we all know, man, that nothing matters in this life if you ain't got the people close to you for you to look at. And you don't even have to say nothing. You know, I love you. Oh, my God. Nah, you don't have to fucking say none of that shit. You just know it in your heart and you know it in your eyes. When I look at you, you fucking know. This motherfucker loves me. Last night, I had to brush the cats last night. That's why I didn't go out. Because I hadn't given them attention for a week. I hadn't brushed them. I usually try to brush them and whatever. But the hours were weird. All I could do was pet them and pick them up. And I noticed last night Lulu was full of fucking hair. So last night, before I took a shower, I got my dirty shirt. And I got a sheet and put it down. I got Lulu and I got fucking Allie. And I got fucking Superbad and I brushed them all. And then I sat down and watched Sons of Anarchy. And Superbad came over and rolled on top of me. And you know, he usually just, it's the funniest thing. He gets on this ledge over here. Have you ever seen him do it?
Yeah.
And he dive bombs. He just dive bombs on you. Boom, with his fucking head, and he rubs on you. And I'm looking at this cat's eyes. And man, this little motherfucker loves me. Just the way he looks at me. Nobody's ever looked at me like that. Just the way he looks at me. But I see my daughter looking at me like that. And I see...
Yeah, that's SpaghettiOs picture.
Yeah, that's SpaghettiOs picture. Oh, she's a fucking trip, though. She's getting to the point now. She was 9 months old yesterday, and it's very funny. It's just my household is completely different. She's really taken over the house with her energy, and my wife's on a different level. And that's why I wanted my wife to quit a fucking job. I can care less about the money and all that shit. You can only experience this one time. You know, I fucked up the first time when I had Jacqueline. I'm not blowing it again, you know? And that's what you learn with age, when you become an old loser instead of a young fucking loser, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, it's the same thing, because I was thinking about you, because with the friendship, I told you, I'm going to my high school best friend's wedding next year, and like we lost touch, and it's weird, but it's even weirder now because of Facebook. Like, it's great for, like, this stuff, but with, like, your actual... people, friends who you, like, you grew up with, it kind of makes you think you're close, but you're really not. Because, like, you're never on the phone, like, you have, like, an occasional post. But I was actually thinking, like, I would always make fun of my parents who, like, didn't get technology or whatever. But for the first time, I was like, I can't...
Technology sucks. A little bit about it sucks.
It sucks, but I also don't, like, kids are having it now. Like, kids from the age of 8 will have Facebook or whatever. And you're like, they probably shouldn't. And it's like it was the first time I was like, I wonder, because I you're probably gonna want your daughter to like experience like having friends and like playing, like what if your daughter went on Facebook and like or Twitter and was like Little Mad Flavor or something, and then like I just it's a weird thing to think about, and I'm not anywhere near ready to have kids, but like I have friends on Facebook who I grew up with, not the people from the show, and like we'll talk, but I never see them when I go home, like. You probably have friends like when you went back home last time, who every week they're like, "Oh, we miss you, or we saw you on this, and we'll come see you next time they come out." But you're only home once a year, and oh, we couldn't get a sitter this time. Or the people who actually come out and for you, like, it means a lot.
Yeah, no, I keep in touch with people. They see me on Facebook, and I might, you know, but I'd rather call them. You know, the people I grew up with. It pissed, like, even Danny B, he always sends me emails. I like when he calls me. Sometimes I'm busy.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's such a D's, he's like, you're always busy. No, I like the you know, I don't know what podcast I went on. I think it was Joe's that, you know, I don't like tweeting. I don't like, I like it. I like tweeting. But communication-wise, I want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what's in your voice. Because if I listen to you, I know if there's something wrong with you. Especially my buddies, the people I love and shit, I don't want them fucking... tweeting me or Facebooking me or texting me. Nothing bothers me more than that shit. You know, that commercial really hit home with me a couple of years ago when the guy comes in for one of those printer commercials and he's like, you know, we're down 40%, blah, 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 blah. You know, it emails and all this shit are done. You got to go back out there and it's time for belly-to-belly sales. You got to shake hands with people, you know. And that's my beef with technology at one point. I have a lot of beefs with technology. I think that whoever put the camera in the phone is kicking himself in the fucking head right now. He's probably getting a ton of money, but, you know, a phone, having a phone and a camera is very fucking nice. But everybody wants to take a fucking picture now, you know, and of everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it gives us more distractions in our daily life that's right in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, I guess Louis C.K. went on Conan or one of those shows and he went off about the cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
How, I really believe, I'm happy he said that. I'm happy somebody who people listen to, you know, somebody who's up there is saying this finally, that we have to break this addiction we have with a lot of these little things.
Did you hear what happened? I forget what city it was in. Let me see if I can find it. It was on Twitter yesterday. This kid, this guy on a bus took out a gun 3 times, and everyone was on their phone so they didn't see him, and he just shot this guy in the back of the head. And apparently it wasn't provoked. Let me see if I can find it, because it was fucking crazy. Like, he took out a gun 3 times to do that, and like everyone was just on their phone, and they didn't even notice it. Like, let me see if I can find that. It's fucking crazy.
You know, like I was telling you the other day, people take their phones into the gym and all that shit. That shit, you're just killing your fucking self to live. Like me drinking this fucking diet soda for breakfast. It's like killing yourself to fucking live. You know what I'm saying? But you, what am I going to do? I already drank water. I do the Dolce thing in the morning. I drink a big glass of water to open up my digestive tract to piss. Mm-hmm. Then I drink some fucking coffee. Then I drank the fucking protein shake. Then I ate the fucking banana. Now I should have drank some water again, but I'm not in the fucking mood for water. And juice is just fucking sugar. So that's my point, people. So,
oh, San Francisco. Yeah, the, sure. This guy took out a 45 caliber pistol and took it out 3 times before he finally got the nerve to shoot the guy. I was like, fuck, that's fucking,
you know,
crazy.
And everything is becoming New York. Everybody's like this. You're right. No. What's up, dog breath?
Where you going?
I'm over here with the flying fucking Jew talking about life. What's up with you?
Life in general.
So I saw that you did...
How's Mr. Jew doing over there? The flying Jew.
I'm doing good, George. How you doing?
Hey, do me a favor.
Does he know how popular he is in the New York metropolitan area?
Yeah, he found out. He has the... Play the video for George of Shut the Window.
Okay.
George, did you hear the video to this?
To what?
To when we were outside, you and me and everybody.
Oh, it was amazing.
Did you hear the video to it, though? Did you hear the video to it?
What, with the close the window one?
Yeah, on YouTube. Did you see all that shit?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't see it.
I lived it, and it was a dream come true, let me tell you. I never heard people chant, you're a rock star in New York. You're a rock star.
We're rock stars, motherfucker. So I saw that you put up some pictures last night. You put up a picture of, like, Spider-Man and all his nemesises, and you had something else. Are you getting ready for New York Comic-Con?
New York Comic-Con starts Thursday for the industry and Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the general public.
Now,
I'm just doing some framing. I'm framing for a client that has a booth there.
Okay, so you're not working it. You're not working it the whole time?
No. I'm going to take my daughter. She's a super geek. She loves that stuff, and I just take her to see what she wants to see, you know. It's a nice excuse for an afternoon, and she has a good time, so that's what I do it for.
Now, how many different Comic-Cons do you work a year?
Jeez, every year it's more and more. I just, San Diego is the king of all Comic-Cons. There's nothing like it. I do that one every July, and then I do about maybe 4. I'm actually going to San Antonio the 23rd. I think there's one in Texas. That's the first time I'm going there. Philadelphia, New York. I do a bunch of them.
And your favorite?
I'm not into that stuff, but I guess it's work, you know? And I like, you know, I'm a voyeur, so I like to watch people. And these people are definitely have their own niche in life, you know? It's just something I'm not really used to, but you know what? They have a good time. So,
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Now, before you call,
has the flying Jew ever been to a Comic Con? He's got a little doll somewhere, some superhero underwear or something.
I didn't go, it was my birthday this year, and we went down to San Diego on, I think it was, like one of the last nights.
Thanks for calling me for that big party, Lee. I really appreciate that.
What happened?
I said, thanks for calling me for that big VIP party.
Oh, I didn't know it was
Oh, you didn't know I was there? I know. I'm standing there outside the club with my thumb on my ass. Thank you. I couldn't even wish you a happy birthday. I had to do it on Facebook. You were 20 feet away from me.
Oh, I didn't know you were hanging out there. I would have let you know. I would have called you.
Uh-huh.
They forget Georgie Borgie.
Oh, my God.
Hey, so let me talk to you about something. Before you called, right, I was telling Lee that this last time when I went to New York, it really affected me more than any other trips because for the first time, this is how fucking retarded I am, George, and how hard-headed I am, that for the first time I realized that, you know, George, we've aged. You know, like,
yeah,
it's not a mystery anymore. We're getting old, and not because we look older, but just the time has flown, you know. And I was telling Lee that I met you. Oh, by the way, guess who I talked to this week? Denise Mick.
Really?
Yeah, Denise Mick called me Saturday from the movie theater with her husband that she was watching a movie, and she saw the trailer for Grudge Match, and she was very proud, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I called her back Sunday, and we didn't talk, and I called her back Monday, and we spoke for a while, and we spoke about you, and she couldn't believe it.
Get out of here. She don't remember me.
Yeah, yeah. She couldn't fucking believe it, and I was like, you know, Denise, it's been, and that's why I was trying to call you. It was so weird, because I have been thinking about this, and I got off the plane. This last trip really fucked with me, George, because the people I saw were the people I really fucking love.
You didn't reach anybody, that's for sure. You were just out there and, you know, but it was a different crowd.
I was telling them that you picked me up at the airport, and then I went home, and then Mike Askley's came by, and we went for a ride, and then the next morning Bobby Bender came by, and he dropped me off, and an hour later Carlos Quintero came by, and he dropped me off, and you came by, and we went to do something, and then, you know, it was Friday night, and then we went over, and then Saturday something else happened. I saw somebody else. And I thought that, you know, it was the first time I didn't see 80 people, but I saw the people that I needed to see, you know, in my heart. And there was one point we were outside Saturday night with Mike Runny, and I was looking at you before we ate the 500-milligram brownie. I was looking at you. I don't know if you see me checking you out. And I was thinking about the time I was walking in Bergenfield, and I just bumped into you, and you were behind a 6-foot fence raking.
And it was Tenafly,
yeah, because that's Tenafly. And I thought about how you bailed me out that night. You picked me up, and I said to you, "Lend me $40 for a hotel room." And you go, "Forget it. Just stay at my mother's house," you know. And ended up staying there for night.
I didn't have the 40.
Right, no, but you had the Mustang. But we were gonna get the 40 the next day. But it's so weird, George. That was 20 fucking 8 years ago, George.
It was that first week. I think I was idling outside the. That gas station on the turnpike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. After a week, I had you out there fucking, you were a getaway driver. But it's so funny, George, that those 90 days I stayed with you, so many things could have happened that would have changed the course of my life forever, because I was working as a masonry for a guy. I was doing construction until we robbed him. I robbed him and got the bottle of fucking Dom Perignon, you know. But the thing was, George, that if I would have got popped in those 90 days, my life would have been completely different. You know, maybe I wouldn't have got popped in cop. Who the fuck knows? But it's just amazing the people that made a difference in your life. And you really made a difference in mine with those 90 fucking days. And look, they became 28 fucking years. I'm thinking about if I would have walked past there an hour later, what my life would have been like. You wouldn't have been there.
My life when I picked you up the other day, kicked from the airport. I think my life changed when I got pulled over after being eating those Cuba chews. Scared shit. For a broken taillight. I was sweating. This 20-year-old cop had me. I'm like, I have a PBA card. He's like, show it to me. I'm like, I don't know where it is. I wrote me a ticket.
I was
scared shit. I was scared shit.
You know, but you look back and I was telling.
You had a nice trip, man. You had a really, I think, you know.
No, I was looking at it. I was telling these guys that. I was telling these guys that, you know, you think about the shit that you have. You make payments on a car, and, you know, you have a house, George, in North Bergen, and you make payments on that. You have a daughter, and you think of the things that you cherish in your life and the things you have. I'll tell you what, man, you have Sammy, you have me, you know. You have people who really love you, and at the end of the week, that's all that really fucking matters sometimes. And there's been peaks and valleys, but that's what a real friendship is about.
I'm trying to get the most out of what we got left. I mean, you harp on it enough. Not harp on it, but we are getting older, but we have responsibilities, but you do have to enjoy yourself. You got to have a good time, man. You can't just, just worry about all this shit. You know what? When I worry about shit, I got to worry about this fucking insurance with Obamacare, I could be driving a brand new Escalade, so I'm going to have to pay for health insurance.
Fucking health insurance is fucking expensive, man. People have, and it's not even the health insurance. George, it's not even the fucking health insurance. It's everything that goes with it. Because after the health insurance, I still got to go to the pharmacy, and they always say to me, "Excuse me, Mr. Diaz, the pills he's giving you, they're a little expensive." Like, what did I have? What did I have 6 months ago? I had an ear infection, and I went to the doctor, and there was steroids. 5 days was $180, even with fucking insurance. Come on. If somebody's making $10 a fucking hour, they get that, that's half their fucking paycheck. Like when the lady told me, she's like,
it's gonna get ugly.
I couldn't fucking believe it. So even with insurance, I still gotta pay a $35 copayment. Not me, I pay 20 or something like that. But that's my point. It never fucking ends. You have insurance so you don't have to fucking kill yourself later. Not so you fucking, they get raped at every fucking moment. You know when I did my knee surgery? Listen to this, George. When I had my knee surgery, they look at it and they x-ray it, but then you have to go for something. And I can't think of the fucking word. Where they put ink or some shit and they look in there. And they did it to my heart a couple weeks ago, too. They put something in there, they could really see what's going on. So this fucking comp, I guess that the insurance covered everything except $51. Listen to this fucking story, George. The fucking place was trying to call me for the $51. They put it on my credit bureau. Because they couldn't get a hold of me. They were looking at an old phone number from when I first joined SAG. It's fucking amazing. So for $51, my credit's going to go fucking backwards now. Because insurance, which I fucking pay, didn't pay the 51 on it or some fucking shit. So it never fucking ends, even with goddamn insurance. When I was married to Kathy King, how much fucking insurance did that fucking dirty bitch have? Her father owned the traveler's insurance. We had insurance. We had fucking insurance for everything. It was as expensive as fuck. I remember when she had the baby, we had to take a fucking loan out. We owed them like $2,000 after we paid. We had 19 different levels of insurance. And the fucking baby still cost fucking. That was 23 years ago. When my wife had the baby now with Mercy, it cost her ugats. Kaiser picked up fucking ugats. Not a dime. The only thing it cost me was the fucking gas money to drive to Kaiser. So I don't understand what the fuck was going on with insurance. But I'm sorry to go on a tangent. I get emotional about insurance. You know what I'm saying? I get emotional like Whitney in 87.
Well, back in 87, you gave a fake name and went to the hospital.
Remember that? Those are the good old days.
And for everything. Jobs.
Plane rides. I used to fly as Lee Syatt in 83. Way before I knew Lee, I flew as fucking Lee Syatt. You never flew under your own name. You didn't have to show them ID. Nothing. Unless you pay with a credit card, nobody knew your name.
What is that flying dude doing for money? I heard he's rolling in the dough, buying big screen TVs.
Who, Lee Syatt? Oh, no, he's got bitches now. You got to see him. He's got no hair, dude. He still hasn't bought a robe. The motherfucker still hasn't gone for a Jew star, though. I don't understand this. He's got to go for the Jew star, put a big chain with a Jew. That's when you know you've arrived. When you got a Jew star on your fucking chest with diamonds.
He likes a little flavor now, huh?
Who?
Lee. He likes a little spicy.
Oh, yeah, he's got a little Mexican chick. He's learning... He's going to... Why don't you go to fucking Samba class, whatever, with her? That's what you should do. What's the name of that shit? Zumba. You should go Zumba, Lee. I seen them the other night at the Y. They were fucking sweating, dog. I went to get on the epileptical.
What are they doing? The Patriots play the Raiders. It must be a war. Must be friggin' lovemaking galore.
She doesn't like football, but she likes baseball, and the mom was making fun of me because we went to the Dodgers-Red Sox game. and the mom was rooting for the Dodgers. And I'm actually rooting for a Red Sox-Dodgers World Series just for that reason. Like, they take it seriously.
So who's in the American League playoffs right now? Who's left?
Red Sox and the A's, Oakland A's, and Detroit is playing tonight, I think, to see who wins. And then it's
the Dodgers against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, and that starts Friday.
Probably. Yeah.
Where? Here? Oh, fuck.
I think it depends who wins.
Right.
Oh, wait. Is Pittsburgh and St. Louis still going on?
No, I think that's over.
Okay. Then the Dodgers won last night, so they're done. They're in.
Dodgers won Tuesday night.
Yeah. So let me check.
Monday night. So they're up.
Yeah.
Madden
is
coming to the
Yankees. No. The St. Louis and Pittsburgh has one more game today, and then they'll figure it out.
So the winner of that, right. So yeah. Then they start playing Friday, I think. No, they can't. It's fucking Wednesday. So, George, what else is going on? Tell me something good, brother. Grandma's in Panama. She can't eat no more cookies. What'd you do with the 500 milligram brownie? Did you eat it yet?
I was about to.
Like crisscross? I'm about to.
I put that bag of pretzels.
All those.
There's a pretzels in my cabinet, so I cracked those bad boys open over the weekend.
Those Auntie Dolores pretzels are fucking delicious, and they're fucking stony as fuck.
I like those pretzels.
Now, I saw a picture that I'm not going to talk about with you, because I'm going to make believe I didn't see it, with you dressed up like a zombie with a knife in your neck. I'm going to make believe I didn't fucking see that, okay?
I went to the zombie walk in Asbury Park. Beautiful Asbury Park, New Jersey, yeah. Tremendous.
And what was the zombie walk about?
I have no idea. 9,000 people dressed up like they're dead. And I had a flesh wound. I wasn't quite dead. I just sat at the bar and watched the walk. But it was interesting. Interesting. You know, I was a zombo for years.
You should have made shirts, George. You fucked up. You should have made
next year
Night of a Thousand Zombies, Italian style, slinging dick and taking numbers.
We got the slogan. We got the shirts. I'm surprised. I bet you some of your army is down there. Those people, they're crazy. I tell you, those fans are insane. These podcast people, they love it.
Listen, man, I love them, and they feel it. I fucking go nuts. They know. We don't censor nothing. We don't talk. We cover every fucking base. Nobody does that no more. I don't give a fuck about what they think and what they don't fucking think, George. I want them to know that everything is possible to them. You know how I was 28 fucking years ago. I never dreamed about doing it. You were just, I remember you were in a movie, and I was like, how the fuck did you get in that movie? How the fuck did you do it? And you know, so this is something that, this is bullshit. This is all bullshit. Everything they tell you can't do, you can fucking do. And that's all I want all these church people to know. Just do it. That's it. The party's over.
I stopped short of the goal. You know what I mean? I was in a movie early, and then I'm going to go to HP Studios. I'm going to study, you know, the method and all this shit. I went to the city. I went right to Washington Heights. I didn't go to no classes. I didn't go nowhere, you know? I just worked. I worked the rest of my life. That's it.
Amen.
You know, regrets, we all have a few. But
you have a tremendous fucking framer, bro. You have a great eye for art, you know. God always gave somebody, they always gave us something. Finding it is the fucking journey. That, remember, when we're fucking born, whoever the fuck makes us, God, Jesus, the devil, Hindu, some fucking black dude with a fucking horn on his head, whoever the fuck decides gives us something. The journey is finding it, bro, and making it work for us, making it pay your bills, making you happy, making you help other people with that fucking thing. That's the thing. We're all born with something. Some with a knife, everybody, some with a big dick. There's some chicks that got a tremendous throat.
If you can make money off something that you love,
right or wrong,
most of us don't. You know what I mean? You find something that you're good at, and you can make it. That's it.
It's like a chick with a hot pussy. She don't want to sell it. What the fuck? This is the best pussy I've ever had. It's tight. It smells like flowers. You know, and you don't want to sell this fucking monkey. I wouldn't buy it anyway. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Look at Lee giggling. He's turning red. We're talking about pussy and shit.
I just... You said a chick with a great throat, and George just passed over it. I'm like, a great throat?
So yeah, sometimes you meet a chick with a great throat. You know what I'm saying? She could sing. She could sling. She could swallow. What the fuck? She eats lobster tails.
So what happened with the egg leaves? You put up that tent on your terrace for that little holiday? What was that holiday? I never saw that till this year.
So what?
These Jews, they're putting like tents on their balcony.
They're putting tents?
On
really?
Holiday or something. They go in there. What do
oh,
they do out there?
Maybe it's Sukkah? Maybe it's that one? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the one that just passed. I'm an old man.
Yeah.
40 years passed by, and I never noticed the little tent.
Yeah, it's a little wooden house. I never knew anyone.
That's
who
why they put their
it.
Fucking dollar bills out there. They got a little house on explosive. You touch that thing, your house goes up like fucking Sons of Anarchy.
Is that it? They put a tent outside, and then they hook up the electric to their neighbor, and then they go in there and count the money.
Hey, dog, you know those Jersey Jews. There's nothing like Jersey fucking Jews. They're on a planet all to themselves. They're throwing rocks. They don't give a fuck. They're out there. I was thinking about Cy Lawrence the other day, how he was scamming people. He was a one-man Jew operation. He was a producer of fucking injury. That's all
everything
he did.
But teeth, right? Didn't he have that snaggle tooth, too?
He had a fucking tooth. He had one tooth. But you know what he knew how to do? He knew how to sue somebody. Like, there's some people who sue you half-assed. When he sued you, he fucking sued you. And he had it planned out from A to Z. Like, he was a fucking injury producer. Like, that's what he did. If you needed money, you went to saw him, and he would produce an injury for you and have the paperwork done, have the attorneys, have the judge in on it, the hospital was in on it, and he got a commission from everybody, George. Everybody gave him a $20 fucking bill. I still owe him $400 or something from the fucking settlement he got made, but what are you going to do?
Oh, my God. I remember when I left Colorado, what was it, 88? And I started hanging out again at Dillinger's in Powell Park. And all your old buddies were there. All, you know, everybody from North Bergen. After Leesy, all of them. And what they would do is, as the bar closed at 3 o'clock, they would walk in front of cars and take tumbles and freaking sue the driver. It was like they went to stuntman school or something, these guys. I never saw. I mean, every week they were getting hit by cars to make money. as soon as the place closed,
then they would shake the guy down right there. They said, "Listen, we don't need this shit. Go home, get me a check for $5,000. We'll take care of this."
Done.
They give you $5,000 cash. You go to the bank the next day. There's no fucking drama. I'll call my attorney at 9. If I don't hear from you by 9, I'm calling my attorney. I got pictures, and I'm gonna go to the hospital just to get security. Because you always go to the hospital just to have that paperwork, you know what I'm saying? And you have it dated with the time. Because if you don't have the hospital report, you got. So you always got to get the hospital report, even if it's fucking minor. Let me tell you how good the Jew attorneys in Jersey were. There's one particular guy, for a friend of mine, she was walking down the street holding groceries. This is how good the Jew attorneys were in Jersey. My friend's wife was walking down the street carrying groceries, and a kid was riding a bike on the street. A car cut him off. That kid on the bike hit my friend's wife and she fell. She got $100,000. She sued the property owner. Those motherfuckers are ruthless. What did that poor property owner have to do with that bicycle hitting her? That's how ruthless those Jew attorneys are in Jersey. They got direct fucking lines to Pontius Pilate. I love you, George. Thank you very much for calling, man. What I wanted to just stress to these fucking people is that, you know what, George? You could work on a Disney movie. You could have a podcast. You could do all the things people think are cool. But if you have no fucking good friends in your life, you have nothing. That's the moral of today's fucking podcast. And I love you with all my heart. And I thank you for being in my life, brother. Go out there and sling some dick. Don't forget, go to Chan's, drag it in today. Get an egg roll out of respect for the church of what's happening now.
You know it.
All right, we'll talk later. Thank you, brother. I love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
This is what I'm talking about, people.
One of the funniest calls, and like the last thing I could, I like one of the funniest calls that you did in a while was when you called me, and you said, "Oh, you haven't checked your bank account in a while." I said, "No, I check it every now and then, like when my check comes or whatever." And he said you went off for like 5 minutes about how a Jew has to check it every 30 seconds.
Every 30 seconds, you got to know just in case the market fucking falls through. What the fuck? I'm Cuban. I check it twice a day. You got to go online now. Check that motherfucker. You should know every hour. You should have a card right here. When you're a Jew, when you're a real Jew, You have an assistant. You pay a guy $15 an hour. Just a once an hour, he calls this place and see how much you got left, and he gives you a card. Even while you're talking to people, they just hand you a card. Mr. Diaz, you just look at it and see the amount you put in your fucking thing. On the hour, every hour. That's how we're doing this, all right? Don't talk. I don't want to hear about your fucking family. I don't want to hear nothing. Once an hour, on the fucking dot, I want a card in my hand. No, even if I'm shitting, pass it under the fucking door. Slip it under the door, even if I'm shitting. If I'm fucking sucking... Look at this chick scratching her arm. Look at her with little panties on. Oh, yeah. Bang on the glass. Tell her, look at her. She's pale. She got a tattoo on her calf of a snake. That nasty motherfucker. Anyway, let me give some shout-outs to some beautiful fucking people today. I'm excited today. I could do a podcast for 10 fucking hours if I had it. I want to just really give a shout-out to the Death Squad family from Vancouver to New York City to fucking Illinois to Nashville. You know I love you guys. To NorCal. I love what you're doing, man. And that's how it starts. Castro started by himself. The next thing you know, it was a revolution. That's how it started. There was different things going on in different parts of the film. Nick Magneto. Cleo, I love you, sexy bitch. I can't wait till you come in and get my hands on you. Leon De La Vega over there in fucking Spain, scaring people to death. Eyak, he's a new listener. Eric Costello. And Dave Chink Hooker, whatever his fucking name is. I don't know. I don't like that word, chink. I don't use that fucking word, chink. And like I said before, we rock hardcore. No, here, boom, bam. I had a protein shake this morning. On It has a new vanilla fuck. What are you fucking laughing about?
That was a great intro.
On It has a new vanilla shake. Instead of the chocolate, I love the chocolate. I've been drinking the chocolate how long now? Fucking 8 months, 9 months, 10 months I've been drinking chocolate. And I'm straight with it, but they got a new vanilla. I've called Aubrey. He's coming next week. We're going to shoot a video for you motherfuckers. Listen, go to Honor. They're changing lives. They're making things happen. If you're gonna run with a winner, if you're gonna run with somebody, you fuck Centrum and all these fake fucking vitamins. All they give you is fucking gas. I had a protein shake before I farted, but that was from last night's apple because I gotta take a shit, not because the protein shake went by me and I gotta fart in public. You know when you drink a protein shake, it's got whey in it or whatever. You're in a cubicle. You ever fart in a fucking cubicle by yourself? You get your earphones on, your fucking eyebrows start to melt. You don't need that aggravation. That's why you need the best possible products fucking on the market. Go to Onnit.com, check out what they got, whether it's New Mood, I Sleep Like a Baby, the Strong Bone, my toe is fucking healed, I'm doing jumping jacks. In fact, I think I'm going back to kickboxing to throw some knees and shit. That's how we do it here, people. Go to Onnit.com, press in what?
Church.
Church, C-H-U-R-C-H. If I didn't take the alpha brain this morning, I wouldn't have fucking spelled that correctly. That's how we do it here. The other thing I want you to do is, very importantly, I got a call 2 weeks ago from some fucking kid that, you know, we're friends. He works with this guy and this guy. Can he give us some more sponsors? Can we use some more sponsors? And I got to tell you something. I listen to podcasts. I'm an avid listener of fucking podcasts. I love them. Nothing pisses me off more when I got to hear fucking a bunch of advertising, okay? I try to give you guys the same respect. We need to give Lee a couple dollars. I got to pay for this fucking system here. That's the only reason why I have the sponsors. So I try to get the possible best deal for you. I am now hooked on this fucking Dollar Shave Club. The cocoa butter and the razor. I changed the razor finally after a month. I'm back, bitches, but I didn't shave this morning. So, Dollar Shave Club. $1 a month, $6 a month, or $9 a month. You pick the package, you pick it. Then you get a fixed income on fucking razors, and you eliminate that for the year. Go with the $6 package, it's what, $72 a fucking year. You can't lose. Somebody comes to you and say, what do you spend on razors? $72 a year, bitch. And if you're broke, you just put soap on your face with a fucking horse's tail and you shave. You don't need the fucking fancy shaving cream. But the shave butter they have is tremendous. It's not like regular shaving cream that lathers. It clicks on to you so you get a smoother fucking shave. It's tremendous. I ain't bullshitting you. That's all I'm trying to tell you, people. You gotta fucking rock with what you know here. You gotta go with what you know.
I like the one Mike Charlie's. Some guy tweeted at me in the Dollar Shave Club. I saw it. It's like peppermint for your ass, Listerine for your asshole, and it's true.
And what did Dollar Shave Club say?
They said true. It's true. It kind of wakes you up like the first time.
You get a little heat, like a Bengay into your asshole. It's nice. You get kind of like, it's nice.
And I kind of want to try it.
And if you bang one out, you come on your leg. You can wipe it right off your fucking leg, too. And your leg will smell like peppermint. It'll smell like fucking sour milk and chlorine. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to talk to the people, Lee. You know me.
I do. I kind of want to try it before I'm with the girl the next time and see if she says anything. Like, what's going on?
Are you going there with that raw ass with the girl? Do you wipe it? Do you stick a towel in there?
I shower, but it would smell.
But do you shower before you give her a stabbing, or you shower that morning and walk around with that funky ass all day? And then give her a stab.
Who has time? Like
you, before you fuck her, you kiss her in the hallway, You take her by the fucking hair and you take her in the shower with you.
Well,
and
we
you
do.
Wash her snatch and you wash your dick and your asshole and everybody's happy. Me, I like a little pussy with a little dirt to it.
Well, yeah, well, it's not dirt, but
it's
you
got
can't...
that wang to it. There's a little piss, a little sweat mixed in there.
Like in the morning, yeah, it's cool to shower and all that stuff. But if you're out all day, you're not going to go like...
Yeah, you got to go wash that ass. No. You don't want to go fuck her and then your ass opens and that whole smell of ass is in the room. She's on the bottom. She can't breathe.
That's half the patois.
No, not rotten ass. That never wrote... Rotten ass never... When you watch porn, you see people sniffing, going, we have to shoot all over. I don't smell ass. No, there's
well,
a
not
reason.
Well, not the ass, but I do love, like... After you're done, and then you go to get a drink, and you come back into the room, and it smells like it.
That's disgusting. You're worse than
you don't like that.
No, I don't like
that. Not like ass, but it smells like sex. You don't like that.
You like that pussy in the morning?
Yeah, of course.
Right in the morning, right before, take that thing off after it's nice and fermented all night. You like that fucking little monkey?
Yeah, you don't like walking back into the room and it smells like sex.
No, what I gotta advertise.
Who are you advertising? It's for yourself.
What is this?
Who are you inviting into your room?
Nobody. That's
exactly. That's the point. It's always like
you like smelling your own ass.
No.
Then what's the problem?
Well, like my own ass. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to shower before you go in there.
No, you can't shower.
So let's say you take a shower at 6. You pick her up at 6 o'clock at night. That's 12 hours you're running on that rotten ass. You come home, you don't shower before you give her a stand.
It would ruin the moment. Like, we're making out, we're doing all that stuff. Sorry, I gotta go shower and you gotta do the whole thing.
Sure, you wanna give her a fresh fucking helmet. You don't wanna give her a dirty fucking helmet with some artificial peppermint juice on it. Gotta get it together.
No, I think you gotta get it together.
You can't be fucking rolling.
No one showers every time they have sex.
Well, you should try. Out of respect, so you're more uninhibited.
It takes girls a lot longer to shower, though.
No, like, they don't. You take them in there with them. That's what you do. You don't have to wash their hair. You're not going to sniff their hair. You're going to sniff their ass and their pussy and their feet and bite their ankles and do dirty things like that. You know, why you get me all fired up in the morning? You know my wife's at home playing mom. The fuck's wrong with you?
Bite her ankle?
Fuck, you gotta bite somebody's ankle. When was the last time you bit a woman's ankle? It's been
never.
Year. That's what I'm saying. It's time for you to fucking start, Lee. You know, and hopefully in San Francisco, some chick will fart in your face and get this moved on with in our life. I can't wait. I'm going to have a good time in San Francisco. Next week, I'm in Ontario, right down this corner here. Then the week after that, I'm at South Street Comedy Club in Jackson, motherfucking Tennessee. 2 hours from... I don't even know what a strip of fucking shower is and shit like that.
What?
I don't even know.
Where's the club? Wait, are you talking about the club?
No. I ain't talking about no fucking club. Let's see if my man will call in right now and shit. Are you gonna call in? I'll text you the number, call in. We got a special treat for you motherfuckers today. It's my little brother Red Band and shit.
Oh, he's up?
Yeah, oh, he's been up. That motherfucker is doing something. He's doing something tonight, that creepy cocksucker. He's been sick, though.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
He lost, like, 92 fucking pounds.
Let me see where that club is for you.
What?
Let me find out where that club is so people in Tennessee can go see you. It's in Jackson, Tennessee, Harvey South Street Comedy.
They supposedly have great fucking Italian food.
Ooh, what do you want? What's your favorite Italian thing?
I like everything.
I love chicken parmesan.
Oh, I know you do with the cheese. You rub it all over your face like a savage.
Absolutely.
I like ziti with sauce and maybe a half a sausage and some meatball.
Oh, here we go.
What's up, little brother? What the fuck are you still doing awake?
My schedule's all fucked up from being sick. So, like, I slept like 48 hours the last 2 days. So,
how you feeling now? How you feeling now?
Today was the first day I actually ate. I eat like half a bagel and a banana, so I feel a lot better.
Now, what finally. did you eat chicken?
Yeah, I went to El Pollo Loco, man, and their chicken is, they buy it from Foster Farms, and me and my friend who ate it with me, we both like 2 hours later got this really bad heat thing, like it felt like we just went through a heat lamp, and we couldn't figure out why. We were like freaked out. We thought it was like an alien or something. But they're saying now that Foster Farms has a humongous, whatever, salmonella poisoning going on in California, and already 300 people in, like, the last week have gotten sick and gone to the hospital and stuff. and they read off all the symptoms, and it's exactly what I have, exactly, to the T, to like shitting every 30 minutes, to complete insane dehydration. I had so much dehydration, my tongue was white, and it was just like, it was the creepiest thing ever. But whatever, it sucks, but I think I'm getting better.
Okay.
But you got to teach Lee what a stripper shower is, and if you don't know what a stripper shower is, it's a great thing. You need to
I have
know
no
that.
Idea.
All right, so like you take a shower obviously every morning or whatever, and but then later at night, you know, if you're not doing anything too active, like Lee's probably not, you know, playing basketball as much as he used to anymore, but you take what it's called a stripper shower, so you don't have to take a second shower. You just go in the bathroom, get the washcloth, and just put a little soap on it, you know, and just wash your main shit, like your butthole, your dick, and your nipples and stuff.
Oh, I do that when I'm going out, but he's saying when the girlfriend's here, to like in the middle of everything, be like, wait, I gotta take a shower. Like, I do that when I used to
You've
go out.
You've been sitting on your ass for 12 fucking hours editing, and tell me in those 12 hours you didn't cut one fucking fart.
Everyone does.
Okay, so that's number one. Point number two, in those 12 hours, a little bit of fucking sweat dripped out of your asshole at some fucking point. And at point number three, you got up and you walked around, and that sweat fermented on your asshole and it's sitting there, and you probably have heavy jeans on, so it's just in there rotating. They can't get out. The fucking air from the bottom ain't pulling it down to the fucking bottom. And you telling me you don't want to wash your fucking ass, you filthy cocksucker.
No, yeah, that's why you do a stripper shower. Keep maybe even keep a dryer sheet in your wallet, you know, for your underwear. But
you're a sick bastard. I don't mind the stripper shower. You know, I don't mind the stripper shower. And let me ask you something. You know those massage parlors? Can you eat those chicks out?
Can you?
Yeah, yeah. Like would they let you eat that fucking monkey? That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, but you gotta watch out for thrush, man. That's scary, real thing if you do that.
What's thrush?
That's where thrush is when you get a yeast infection in your mouth. Ugh. A lot of times these girls have yeast infection, and when it gets in your mouth, it makes your whole mouth like white and like yeasty, and it's like having like, I don't know, flour in your mouth for like a week. It's bad.
And then what do you got to do to get rid of it?
I don't know, man. I've never had it, but I'm guessing.
I always got it. I've had it since I was 12. Since I ate Lucy Snowbush, I've had yeast in my mouth, yeast in my fucking eyeballs. I don't give a fuck. So you could really, they'll let you eat their pussy, those dirty bitches at the massage parlors?
They let you do anything, man. There's even, I think when I did a search last, there was 7 girls in LA at massage parlors that let you do anal with a condom, and 3 that let you do it without a condom.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
The fuck?
There's also places that half the time the girls are actually guys. You know, like ladyboys. They don't tell you. So there's also ladyboys that look like girls. And when it's a dark massage parlor and they're massaging you, you have no idea if they're a girl.
What's a ladyboy? Come at me again. What the fuck are you talking about?
A ladyboy is where it's like in Asia, you know, like there's not. Especially China, there's a huge population of men, but not women, because they kill all the women babies, you know? So the men have no women, so a lot of times the boys just dress up as women, and, you know, they're like transsexuals, pretty much.
And they have those here in L.A.?
Yeah, they have them a lot. There's a lot of places that have the tranny massage parlors. I'll send you a few.
No. Let me explain something. Let me explain something to you, what's happening. You know, my friend is the Agostino, and he runs the HaHa.
Yeah.
And about 3 years ago, I moved to the Valley, and I hang out at the HaHa some nights during the week, and I go up there early, and I'd see, you know, 50 women walk by, you know, 2 at a time, 1 alone, and I thought, what a fucking creepy thing that just women walk on here. Sometimes you see a couple, and then I put it together that half of them were hookers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I moved on with my life. You know, I don't care. I don't care that they don't do anything for me. So then I started hearing about massage parlors. Now, there's the North Hollywood Diner. You know what North Hollywood Diner is? I guess right across the street, they opened up a massage parlor. So the other day, I went to get rolling papers at the place next to the HaHa. They sell blue cigarettes and rolling papers, and the kid's real cool. And as I was walking in, I swear to God, Red Band, a girl was walking out that looked like, what's the girl that sings, Please Don't Stop the Music? Rihanna. Black like that, light skin with little tiny tits and a tremendous ass with shorts on. And I looked at this girl. I was like, wow. And then when she walked out, the kid goes, she's a hooker. You know, fuck her at the hotel. She fucked my buddy. And then he started rattling off about him. And then the Agostino came in, and they were talking about all these places right on Lancashire. Now,
I was going to say, they're all, like, North Hollywood is the capital. Like, Lancashire, every single one of them.
So they were telling me that, like, I went to one hooker house. I went to that 1040 club when I was a kid, and they take your dick out and they wash it in a bucket, like those metal buckets. They have a sponge under there, and they wash your dick, and then they put a condom on you, and they get on top of you. And I don't, bro, I blacked out. It was like getting fucking molested, you know. And I don't, now, when they suck your dick, do they suck it with a condom on too?
Some places do, but most places they have a condom on, but they're still good with the condom. And they have like those totally illegal condoms that really don't work. They just feel great, where they put it on with their mouth. So they'll start giving you a blowjob with no condom on, and you're like, oh, this is fucking awesome. But then you realize she put a condom on with her mouth, and she, like, you don't even realize there's a condom on it. Like, these condoms are like the kind you get, you know, at the 99-cent store dumpster in the back. You know, it's they're not real condoms.
So they were starting on, so then, you know, the kid's cousin, they're Armenian or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, oh, his cousin showed up, and they started talking about, oh, Red Band. It was like four of them talking about how this one fucked this girl Tuesday for 140, and this guy fucked this chick for 160, and they're talking about how he ate her. And when he said he ate her, all bets were off. Like, all bets were off. But this is when it got kinky. One of the guys goes, bro, I went in there one day, and I didn't have a condom, and the chick sucked his dick with saran wrap on it. I go, saran wrap? She goes, yeah. So they have rolls of it in the room, and they just put it on your dick and suck it. You can't fuck them with the saran wrap, but they'll suck your dick with... Come on.
I fucked a girl with saran wrap. Like in college, that was like, oh, shit, I don't have a condom. So I would be like, oh, I got one over here. I'll be right back. I'd, like, wrap my dick in saran wrap, and then she'd feel it. And then you take her hair band off the nightstand, so it feels like there's, like, that little rim, you know, to keep the saran wrap on. But,
You know, you learn something new every fucking day. You know that? You really do. This shit's got me like, we should do a documentary on all this shit. This shit
no,
is...
No.
This shit has got me crazy, and I'm scared to... I gotta be honest with you. Listen, guys, I could tolerate a lot of shit. Like this week, I couldn't hold the bunny rabbit on the set. I kept getting anxiety with the bunny rabbit because he kept scratching me. I couldn't hold the bunny rabbit. I have different situations, Lee and Red Band. I get fucking anxiety from shit. I couldn't even dream of going into a massage parlor, but I got to be honest with you. I really want to one time just to see it. But the problem is, I think when she takes my cock out, I'll run out of there. Like, I'm one of those crazy motherfuckers. Yeah, I'm really bad like that. The good thing is,
like, you lay down naked, right?
Okay.
She comes in, and she just starts massaging you. And so, like, the first half of it, you're just like, oh, my God, this girl's touching my naked body. And so you're getting a hard on right there. And then when she flips you over, you're ready to go, you know? So I was nervous the first time I went. But after the first time, it's like fucking crack. You just want another and another. But I stopped going to those. I don't know. I just felt creepy about it after a while.
And are they good looking, these chicks?
Well, see, that's the problem, man, because you really have to look at the reviews, like on a website like rubmaps.com. Rubmaps is like Yelp for these massage parlors. And you really have to read through all the reviews and find which places have the young girls, because most of these places only have one or two girls, and they're like the only people that, like, they own the place. And so sometimes you go in there and the lady's like 40 years old, and she's been doing it since she was 16, you know, and so it's just kind of like she's just a worn lady. But you go to some of these other places, they're just like escorts, like, hey, I need to make some extra cash. I'm not getting money on Craigslist, so I'll just go to one of these massage parlors. So you have to figure out which places are good and which ones are just old ladies.
Old fucking ladies. Can you imagine an old lady giving you a fucking hand job, sucking your pipe, and you're sitting there thinking, Jesus Christ, this could be somebody's mother or grandmother. What the fuck? Like I said,
I tell you what.
Now they let you touch them, like you fuck them the way you would fuck a regular chick. You squeeze their tits and you pump them and you suck on their neck and all that shit.
Oh yeah, they have ones that are called girlfriend experiences. They're called GFF. And what they do is they pretty much for an hour act like they're your girlfriend. Like, they do everything. Like, after you're done, they'll lay with you and just sleep. And, like, until like the person, the madam, knocks on the door and it's like 1 hour, you know, and then they wake up and like they do everything. You pretty much own them for an hour, so it's nice. And you know, you'll find other secrets out. Like there's a place in San Diego, my favorite place, and all these students from the college here in Los Angeles, like UCLA, they drive down there on weekends to make money, and so nobody knows them down in San Diego. And then they come up, you know, during the weekday and go to school. So they go down there to, you know, work, and so no one knows what they're doing.
And they're hot.
So you go down to San Diego, you're getting these 21-year-old students.
That is fuck. This has been an education, Red Band. This really has.
And you know what the best is? The best is if you look at, like, your hometown or certain cities. Like, I looked at Columbus, Ohio, and they're not, like, into it as much. There's, like, one girl that does, fucks and sucks and everything. There's one girl for the whole city. So that one girl is who everyone in Columbus, Ohio is fucking. So this girl's probably fucked the whole city.
And you don't get paranoid about, like, getting a cop? Like, that's all I'm thinking about.
Look, Lee, if I get in trouble for anything, it's going to be, you know, drugs or prostitution. Everything else, I'll feel bad about.
Jesus.
So if you get caught with one of those girls in a massage parlor, you get charged too?
Yeah, but I think it's like, what, a prostitute charge? I don't think that's a big deal, do you? I don't think
for
so.
Them or for you? For
for me, I don't. For me, I would say what? It's like a weed ticket. I don't know.
But still on your record, you're soliciting a prostitute.
Nah,
what if you hook up with a judge later on and she won't suck your dick because you solicited a prostitute? You got to think of these things.
We're comedians.
That's fucking crazy. This has been crazy. I mean, what I've heard the last 3 weeks is crazy. This one kid was saying that the place across the street from the NoHo Diner, that the chick's a fucking 8. And she's a Spanish
what?
Chick. Yeah. That she's got great tits, big. She's about 25. He said he had her for a half hour, and he came like 4 times. She let him fucking come. Because that's what you said. He owned her for a half hour. I don't know. I don't fucking know. But he said he cracked a nut because he comes real fast. So he gave an extra 50, and he goes, I'm going to come real fast. Let me get out of the way, and then fuck you. It's just crazy. I never heard of things like this, man. That is fucking crazy.
The big thing in Los Angeles to do now, and I think we know a couple of friends who probably have done this, is to go get a legit STD test, like a porn test, what the girls have to do every 30 days. And then you put a listing on Craigslist saying that you're making a movie, a porn movie, and you try to get girls off Craigslist. And you can get these girls, like these new porn star wannabes, for like $200, $300 for full sex. And you just put a video camera in the room and say that you're making a movie. So that's the better way to do it. That's like the way, if you're going to go more than twice a month, you just have your fake porn studio that you never release the videos.
And the chicks will come and bang you?
Yeah. And it's safer that way too, because they get tested before you know, they even come. So you have to be like, you have to have a test, a valid test.
All that to get a piece of ass to control. Wow. Yeah. That is fucking craziness. That really is crazy.
It is crazy.
My brother, I love you. What do you got going on today?
I'm asleep for a bit. See how I feel when I wake up. See if I should go to the doctor or not. But I'm feeling a lot better since I got to eat. I didn't eat for 4 days straight, Joey. I don't know if you have ever not eaten for 4 days, but
look at me.
Really,
look at me.
Start hallucinating.
Oh, I know. That's a fucking horrible. There's UFC fights today, though.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, good ones.
Oh, well, good we'll ones. Probably do that.
Maybe. Yeah, it's free. They start at 2:00, so. Oh, they're fucking shit. Free. I think they're off by 7. They're in Brazil, so.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll wake up and watch that.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, Lee, Joey, love you.
Love you guys, man. Thank you. We're doing another live one again, Red Band.
All right, cool. Definitely.
All right, brother. Bye.
Bye.
That was cool. He was like, fuck, he knows all about that crazy shit. I got to get my shit together.
Even before I was dating the girl, that whole getting arrested thing freaked me out.
So they arrest you if you get a massage?
No, I mean, they not every time, but I'm like I always see these massage parlors shut down today for fucking the hand jobs. I'm like, oh god, it's not worth it. That shooting your own porn thing is a good idea.
Oh my god, that's fucking crazy.
Because that's basically all it is. All that POV stuff. It's essentially just a guy with a camera. There's no reason we couldn't do it.
a guy with a camera.
Fuck.
There goes another church episode. I hope you got something out of it. We talked about friendship, pornography, fucking masseuses, and ooh, and just having a good old fucking time. Like I said, this weekend, come see me and Lee Saturday night. We're going to be at the fucking Cobbs. I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday with my main man, Ari Shafir, the other great Jew in my heart. And Lee's coming up for one of the nights. That was a good protein fart right there.
Yeah.
And I can smell the apple, too.
Quickly, before we let you go, we have Hulu Plus. 2 free weeks. Put in the code word Joey. Just 2 free weeks. Watch it on your TV, PC, all your phones, iPads. They have it there.
You can watch this shit anywhere. And let me tell you something. The other night, I had more time. And I went on Hulu to see what they had.
Yeah.
I'm very fucking impressed. My wife is into it. But I went on to see what they had. I could see myself getting lost in fucking Hulu Plus.
Absolutely.
For $7.99 a month. $7.99 a month. And you can watch all the Saturday Night Lives. They have shit on there. I forgot. I was going to write it down, but I fucking forgot what they had on there. I was really fucking impressed. And to impress me, you got to take the wheel if you're fucking blind. Do yourself a favor. Go to HuluPlus.com or go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to the Hulu Plus box, put in the code word
Joey. Well, if you go to JoeyDiaz.net, you don't have to put in anything. If you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey, then it works. But if you go to JoeyDiaz.net, just click on anything and it works.
Okay, there you go. Just click on, sign up, give them the credit, whatever the fuck it is. It's $8 a fucking month. And you can watch unlimited fucking television. You
and
can't
movies.
Beat that. And fucking movies. So stop fucking around. And after you watch a movie, go in the shower. Shave your pussy, shave your face, shave your asshole. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Again, either click on the banner on JoeyDiaz.net or go to fucking the Dollar Shave Club. Click on Press Church.
Yes.
And there you have it. You get an introductory offer. You're going to either get 4 blades, whatever, 1 package simple for $1 a month. That's $12 a fucking year for blades. Or you get the $6 package with 72, or you get the $9 package, which comes with the butter and the fucking double blades and the cartridge and the whole fucking deal for $9 a month. Who's better than you? And you get that all from us right here at church because we love you. We want you to be shaving and your eyebrows and for you to
You shave your asshole?
No, but if I had somebody to do it, I'd ask them.
Ooh, that'd be weird.
I don't even know if I have hair there. Well, you know,
I guess you do. I do.
I pull them sometimes. You pull the asshole.
It hurts.
It's tremendous. It's a complete different patois. It's like eating a peppermint patty. I love you guys. Have a great fucking weekend. I hope to see you in San Francisco next week in Ontario, the week after that in Jackson. Have a great motherfucking weekend. We love you. See you Monday.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You'll get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Oh, shit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 crack commandments. One.
Oh. What?
Man, can't tell me nothing about this coke. Can't tell me nothing about this crack. This weed. My hustling niggas. Niggas on the corner. I ain't forget you, niggas.